first reading tonight is from Exodus 12, verses 15 to 20. The Festival of the Unleavened Bread. The Lord said, "For 7 days you must not eat any bread made with yeast. Eat only unleavened bread. On the first day you are to get rid of all the yeast in your houses. For if anyone during these 7 days eats bread made with yeast, he shall no longer be considered one of my people. On the first day, and again on the seventh day, you are to meet for worship. No work is to be done on those days, but you may prepare food. Keep this festival, because it was on this day that I brought your tribes out of Egypt. For all time to come, you must celebrate this day as a festival. From the evening of the 14th day of the first month to the evening of the 21st day, you must not eat any bread made with yeast. For 7 days, no yeast must be found in your houses. For if anyone, native-born or foreign, eats bread made with yeast, he shall no longer be considered one of my people." The second reading is taken from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. The parable of the mustard seed. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows up, it is the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree, so that birds come and make their nests in its branches." And the parable of the yeast. Jesus told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with a bushel of flour, until the whole batch of dough rises." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Charles. Let's pray together as we come to think what these parables have to say to us this evening. Father God, we thank you for your word and for the truths that are within it. We pray this evening as we come to look at these short verses that you would help us to be sensitive to what you have to say to us this evening. And may we have hearts and minds to not just listen, but also to implement it into our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, according to Wikipedia, there are currently, and I quote, 7.138 billion people living on our planet, and that number is constantly increasing. Within Europe, there are 733 million people living in what is the third largest continent in the world. The UK has 63.2 million people currently living here. And Chelmsford, the wonderful city that we call home, well, that has a population of around 102,400 people. I don't know about you, but when I hear numbers like that, I feel daunted. I want to be a Christian who makes an impact on the place where I live. I want to be a Christian who makes a difference in the world. I want to be a Christian who helps reveal the kingdom of God to our world. But when I hear numbers like that, I feel insignificant. I wonder how on earth are we as a church, let alone as individuals, able to make an impact for God on this city, yet alone the world. We're surely just outnumbered. Well, this evening we're going to look at these three verses from Matthew 13. And although these verses are relatively small in size, I think that within them is contained a very important message for us as individuals and also for the church today. Both of these parables refer to the kingdom of heaven, or as Luke calls it, the kingdom of God. And the reason for the slight difference in the phrases between the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke is because of the audiences that the two writers are writing to, but essentially they mean the same thing. So when Matthew and Luke use the phrase that they are this phrase, they're talking about what it is that God wants the world to be. They're talking about a world that if God reigned over it, a bit like the monarchy used to reign over the UK, technically still do reign over the UK, but where the king's will went across the land, that is what they're trying to get at. However, God isn't just content to have his kingdom in control in certain parts of the world and not others. Instead, God longs to see the whole world to be a place where he reigns, where his way is followed, and people worship and praise him as their head, as their leader, and as their God. One reason why this phrase is used in the Gospels is because the kingdom of God is such a lofty idea. It's so difficult to define. However, as its part, it will have characteristics such as being a place of absolute righteousness, a place of unsurpassable freedom, of fearless love, of total reconciliation, and everlasting peace, to name a few. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And that's just a glimpse of some of those characteristics. So the question that we'll be looking at this evening will be what these parables tell us about the kingdom of God and how we might be able to play our part in helping it come to realisation in Chelmsford and around the world. So in the first of these parables, we hear about a mustard seed. The mustard seed was the smallest of seeds commonly used in Palestine at the time that Jesus was teaching this parable. In a day when microscopes and magnifying glasses didn't exist, you probably didn't get much smaller than a mustard seed. You probably didn't get less significant than a mustard seed. However, it's then a mustard seed that Jesus chooses to talk about the kingdom of God in this parable. But why? Well, I don't know about you, but when it comes to cooked breakfasts, I prefer tomato sauce rather than mustard. But, and as a result, I've never had to ponder where mustard comes from. I've known that mustard seeds exist, but I didn't know where mustard seeds originated. After a little bit of research, I discovered that they come from a tree, and that I've never encountered a tree. But apparently, these little tiny seeds, which are, well, they're not quite microscopic, but they're really small, turn and grow and develop into a tree that can be anything from 8 to 10 feet in height. What a transformation. So why was Jesus talking about such a transformation and the kingdom of heaven? Well, to answer this question, let me ask you to imagine for a moment what it must have been like to be one of Jesus's followers as Jesus was saying this parable. Here you would have had a new teacher, someone who spoke. And when he spoke, people were just drawn in. They wanted to listen and find out more about him. Not only that, they didn't just want to listen, but there's that special something about this guy. He was like the David Beckham of football. He was a bit special, and people wanted to work out what it was that he was saying and being so special about. However, at the same time, there were also a large number of people who thought that Jesus was just wrong. Maybe thought he was insane. Maybe thought he was a troublemaker. There were others who just didn't get him. And among these people, there were two major faiths of the day, the pagans and the Jews. Both of these faiths were well established. One of the faiths was followed closely, would have been likely to be followed by anyone who you came into contact with on the street as you went from place to place. Can you imagine in a culture and an environment like this, just by associating yourself with Jesus, you would be stepping outside of the mold. You would have been going against what people were expecting you to do. Maybe because of your decision to follow Jesus, they thought that you'd made an error in judgment. Maybe they thought you